No, you're good.
Hello, my friends. Welcome to On Point with Rachel Turgeman. I'm so glad you can join us tonight. My friends, COVID-19 came into this world like a devastating tornado, destroying our economy, our livelihood, and killing many of our loved ones. Joining us tonight is somebody extremely important, Mr. Carlos Magoya, President and CEO of Jackson Health System. He is known to be a transformational leader and simply a consummate professional. Welcome, Mr. Magoya. Welcome to On Point with Rachel Turgeman.
Thank you very much, Rachel. Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you, sir. Many, many blessings. Tonight, I would just like to give an update to all the viewers on how Jackson Health System has been coping with the pandemic. And also, I would like them to get to know you a little better. How's that?
That's great. That's great.
Okay, so let's begin with where you were born. I mean, everybody sees you running around doing this, going here, making transformational changes. But where were you born, sir? Talk to us.
Well, I was born in Cuba. I came over when I was 11 years old, like many of us did back in the early 60s. My parents, I'm an only child, and they brought me over here and grew up in Miami. And even though I worked sometimes my life in New York City and in Charlotte, North Carolina, my home is Miami, and that's why I'm giving back to my community.
And boy, do you know how to give back to the community. God bless you. Let's go back to your childhood as you were growing up. Are there any teachable moments, any experiences that you have with your parents, perhaps, that still resonate in your thoughts that have made you who you are today?
I think the number one point that that made me from my parents, as I said, I'm an only child, and in their case, the only thing they ever wanted for me was to be able to do the things that they were able to do. They were children of the Great Depression. They didn't have a whole lot. My dad had to leave early in child age to go to work to help his mother with his brother and sister, because his dad died when he was 9 years old. So he was a self-taught man. And the only dream that they both had was for me to go to college and to persevere and do everything that they couldn't do. And frankly, both the stamina of my mother and the drive of my mother and the wisdom of my dad are really the things that have been driving me all my life.
Wow, that's a beautiful story. Thank you for sharing that with us. Master's in business administration with a concentration in finance. What influenced you to get that particular degree, sir?
Well, frankly, it was by pure accident.
Really?
Completely. It wasn't planned. My entire life, I wanted to be an architect. And while I was going to high school, I played in a rock and roll band, and I also was racing automobiles, which are...
What did you play in the rock and roll band? What did you play? Guitar?
No, I played the drums. I played the drums in the rock and roll band, and I played the trumpet in the jazz band and in the high school band. So,
wow.
So basically, I wanted to be an architect, and I started. I couldn't afford go to school full time because we didn't have the money. And back then, the University of Miami was the only four degree school that we had in Miami.
And right.
To go, I mean, obviously, it was not affordable for someone like me, who played around a lot, didn't have the greatest grades in the world. So I went to Miami-Dade College, and during that period of time, it dawned on me that if I was going to go to third year of architectural school, I would have to quit working, and I could not afford to do that. So I had started working in the banking business. I was a teller at the time, and I liked the banking field, and I went into business school. And that's where I got my undergraduate degree. By the time I got into my master's, which was at FIU, my undergrad was at FIU. And frankly, at that point in time, I was pretty well entrenched in the banking business. And at that point in time, that was my life. I noticed to me that numbers tell me stories. And I'm about stories and I'm about relationships. So that's what got me into the finance business.
You are. It's amazing. Wow. I didn't know nothing about you that way. I didn't know that you played the drums and the fact that your parents were so amazingly there for you and pushed you and gave you the impetus. Yep. That is beautiful. So I don't want to go so quickly about your work history because you are unbelievable. I don't know if you remember me, but I remember you. I remember you when you were the city manager. That was a while back. And you took their budget, their alien budget, and you went, psh, unbelievable. So what I want you to do right now is to share with our viewers your amazing career from a teller to who you are today, because you have done so much. And then I want to get into Jackson. Talk to us about all your banking. You started as a teller.
Well, I started as a teller in 1969, and I was in the banking business for 40 years. Most of the time I was in Miami. I was with the largest bank in Florida was Southeast Bank. And I was very proud to grow up as a Southeast Bank. And in 1991, we were acquired by First Union out of Charlotte. And I stayed with First Union. And First Union acquired Wachovia. So I called myself a 40-year banker with one bank and three different names. So at the end, I went to New York. I ran the Northeast operations, built the investment bank for the company. Then went to Charlotte, and I was running the general bank, which is basically the number two job in the company.
That sounds like a Herculean job, Mr. Magoya.
I don't know about that. It's just a lot of people, but it was very enjoyable, and I really enjoyed my 40 years of banking. At that point in time, when we sold the bank, I felt that I was going to retire, I wasn't ready.
You were too young to retire.
Yeah, I was not ready for retirement, so I was in my second home in Colorado, and Miami had a new mayor at the time. And they were going through some financial challenges. I chose to help them some financial advice. And before I knew it, I became a pro bono city manager for a year. And like you said, we had a $100 million deficit, and it was a lot of hard time with a lot of great people in the city. And we were able to reduce the expenses and the things they needed to do to balance the budget. As we went through that, and I was leaving December of 2010, Jackson was going through his own challenges. The chairman of the Miami-Dade Commission at the time, Joe Martinez, came to ask me, would you like to run Jackson? I said it would be the biggest dream and legacy I could leave my community to be able to, if I could turn around Jackson. Not thinking about it as a career move, it was strictly only about helping the community. See, my youngest child was born in Jackson, 1.25 pounds, and only survived.
Beautiful. Congratulations. That's beautiful.
My mom donated a kidney to my aunt in 1982.
Wow, that's miraculous.
That was early on in the transplantation at Jackson. And I also almost lost my hand on riding my bicycle, which also saved my hand at Jackson. So I had three major things. So I knew enough about Jackson that I wanted to give back to the community and the value of the community. So I came on, we had some financial challenges. We turned that around, and right now I'm very proud that come May 1st will be 10 years that I've been at Jackson.
And congratulations.
We're in the process of completing a $1.8 billion capital expenditure that we're doing at Jackson right now. So we're very excited. Beautiful. We're building a new hospital at Doral. We're completing a critical care tower with right now 54 beds and soon to be 80 beds.
How exciting.
Memorial, and we also built a brand new world-class and probably the best healthcare hospital in the country. At Lynn Rehab Center at Jackson Memorial as well.
And talking about the Lynn Rehab Center, I heard it's unbelievably gorgeous. It has cutting edge technology. It even has like a treadmill in the pool. I mean, it's just amazing what you've done there. But I want to move back a little bit what you said, Mr. Magoya. I'm not going to let you off the hook. I need all our viewers to know that when you took Jackson back in 2011, when you joined them, they had a huge loss of money, massive loss. And the first year, you were able to create a surplus of $8 million. Soon thereafter, $45 million, then $50, then $58. The numbers go on and on and on. Wow.
Well, we're proud of the fact that we have now had 9 straight years of profitability. We did before getting there, we had gone through some major losses, about a deficit of about $500 million. So we're very excited about where we are today. The only thing about the past is to learn from it. The most beautiful thing about the past is that we always have had the best clinical care. We're not just a county hospital, and we are probably the largest public hospital in the country, but we're
the best in the nation.
The second largest teaching hospital in the country. We have 1,100 residents and fellows that, along with the University of Miami, we train, and not only for our own doctors, but 70% of all doctors within a 50-mile radius of Jackson have been trained in Jackson. We're very proud of that.
And that's miraculous. That's amazing. So congratulations for your Lynn Hospital with having the cutting edge equipment for rehab. I was looking at some pictures. I mean, wow. I mean, you are really up there, Mr. Magoya. Also, your Halls Children's Hospital. You have saved so many lives. And I want to thank you because years ago, my baby was little. We were there as well because she ended up getting like salmonella. And you, like you said, you're not exaggerating. You have the top best doctors. I don't even want to say in the nation, Mr. McGoy. I want to say in the world. The top best doctors in the world. And thanks to your leadership, we're just getting better, better, better. I want to congratulate you and, of course, our major philanthropist, Miss Anna Vega Milton, for your new hospital coming up. Do you want to say anything about the hospital, the new one?
Well, the new Jose Milton Hospital, which is part of our Jackson West campus on Palmetto and 25th Street, will be completed sometime in the middle of May.
Great.
And that will have a great medical office building with access to pediatrics as well as all the adult side. The actual hospital itself will be basically about 100 beds to start off with.
It will have
about six operating rooms, two cath labs. It'll be predominantly an outpatient environment, which is what you need out in Doral.
Yes.
Got a lot of younger people who obviously need a lot of work from exercising, and they may get hurt or heart conditions. And most of those issues are more outpatient. So we're very excited about completing that. And because of the Milton family and their financial support is part of the reason why we were able to do that. So we really appreciate it.
Beautiful. We love them. And also, I understand that you have a hospital for women, women's hospital. Talk to us about that.
So part of Jackson Memorial, Jackson Memorial is comprised of four different hospitals. We have, obviously, the adult hospital, which is the one everybody knows is Jackson Memorial. We have the Behavioral Health Center, which is one of the top behavioral health hospitals anywhere in the state. We have our rehab hospital, which we already talked about, the Lynn Rehab Hospital. And then we have two hospitals combined, which is basically the Holtz Children's Hospital, which obviously deals with all kinds of children up to the age of 18, and the Women's Hospital. The Women's Hospital deal with any and all cases of women, including obstetrics. And of course, so Jackson is the only place between the Women's Hospital and the Children's Hospital that any complex labor can be taken care of, where both the mother and the child are well taken care of by some of the top obstetricians, as well as the top pediatricians to be able to. Our NICU of 130 beds is one of the top neonatal intensive care units anywhere in the country.
I love it. I love it. And you mentioned you have a behavioral mental health hospital. I think it's great, especially now during COVID-19, you know, anxiety, depression, substance abuse issues. So you are doing a fantastic job. COVID-19, Mr. Magoya. COVID-19 came in 2020. I remember more or less here in March when we really heard about it. You, as president and CEO of Jackson Health System, one of the best healthcare networks, I would like to say, in the world, and I believe it, and many of us that are watching you today for sure believe it as well. How were you able to do that change from a normal hospital setting to a quick response to a pandemic? Tell us.
Well, we didn't have much of a choice. Around the second week of March of last year, we had our first patient of COVID. No when did we ever think that first patient would get to the point that where we are now, where we have discharged over 5,000 patients.
Congratulations.
The sad thing to that, we have had about almost 1,000 patients that have not made it. It's been a very, very challenging year. In April, we hit our peak. At the time, we had about 178 patients in beds at one point in time, and we thought that was the worst of all. And things started slowing down, and then come June, started picking up again. And July 20th, we were close to 500 patients in beds. And that's about almost half the entire population of patients at Jackson were patients with COVID. Obviously, 99% of them were adults. I didn't really have that many children, but we did. The adults were going through a lot. It was a very new virus for everyone. Everyone was learning from it. It's a very bad disease. It can take some people and not have any symptoms, and it can take some other people, and you think you're doing fine, and from one day to the next, you just drop, and some make it and some don't. So it's been a very, very bad disease. Right now, we're hovering around the 165 patients. We've been in those numbers for about the last couple of months. Our outcomes are a lot better. We've learned a lot about the disease. We have some medicines that actually improved it. I will tell you that to date, we still don't have a foolproof medicine that actually brings you back from COVID, because we don't have medicine for COVID. We have medicine that deals with the outcomes from COVID, such as lung disease and heart disease and the like. We got a long way to go on that. And obviously, the only positive news that we've had so far is the fact that as of December, we had two different vaccines, both Pfizer and Moderna, that were created to help prevent this disease. And at this point in time, we're very happy to have been able to kind of lead the effort where we're basically providing about a third of the vaccinations for all Dade County with our Pfizer vaccine that we've been doing. So we're very proud of that.
No. That's remarkable. What would you say, Mr. Magoya, more or less now, how many patients is Jackson admitting them in there that are coming into your hospital because they need to be hospitalized at this time? Because they're saying that the numbers are going down. Are the numbers going down at Jackson Health System for?
Yeah, the numbers are going down, not just at Jackson, but countywide.
Okay, so you've seen that at your place.
You know, from a county perspective, we were running up to like 140 patients being admitted, not just at Jackson, but in all hospitals in Miami-Dade County. The numbers right now are running between 85 and 95. So they're down about 50%. I think part of that has to do with the fact that we are past the holidays. The holidays, mm-hmm. obviously, everybody get together, you get a lot of infection and people got sick. So I think the admissions are down from that perspective. I think to some degree, some people are being a lot more observant about the masking. Some people are not.
We need to be. So we don't have a choice.
So that's important. And some people want to give credit to the vaccination. We have not vaccinated enough to have an impact on that yet. We're working on it, but obviously there's some of the challenges ahead from that perspective.
Hold that thought, Mr. McGoy. I want to say thank you to all our VIP appetizers, and I'll get right back to you. I'd like to begin, of course, with Jackson Health Foundation. They're the fundraising arm of Jackson Health System. A big shout out to Charmaine, to Flavia, of course, our chairwoman, Anna Vega Milty, making miracles happen every day. And again, we have our leader here, Carlos Magoya. Jose Milton Foundation, Anna Vega Milton, thank you for your altruistic philanthropic work. We love you, we esteem you, we respect you. Nicole Alvarez, she's our attorney, criminal defense, immigration, family law. She was here last week talking about immigration law. Survivors Pathway, president and CEO, Dr. Francesco Dubelli, doing wonderful things to help our victims of human trafficking, domestic violence, and other violent crimes. Magic Waste Youth Foundation, Rudy Bustamante as the president and chair, and of course, our friend Armando Travanco, doing marvelous work with helping foster care kids move on and soar like eagles. Jewish University System, Dr. Jorge Alfonso and Lucy Alfonso, this is an excellent university that you can earn your doctoral degrees either in education or in psychology with some religious modifiers. Next, we have, of course, we have Quantum CPAs and Advisors providing customized and strategic accounting and advisory solutions to entrepreneurs and small business owners. Of course, we have Catholic Hospice. A big shout out to Jessica Joseph and to Diane Backoff. Why? Because when you're nearing the end of life, they're there to love you, to nurture you with excellent healthcare. Meet Elisa Billiard, your corporate and personal psychologist and psychotherapist to solve your business and personal hurdles. And of course, Brenda, your car saleswoman, in case you have a car, your dream car that you would like to buy, or even a used car, give Brenda, your car sales girl, a call, your car broker. Of course, Light of the World Clinic, an amazing clinic, thanks to Ms. Vaseli Vasquez in Broward. If you know anybody in Broward that's economically disadvantaged, guess what? They will take care of you absolutely free. And of course, United Home Care. Big shout out to Carlos Martinez. Thank you for keeping our older adults at home. We love you all. Back to Mr. Carlos Magoya. Mr. Goya, the vaccinations. Tell our viewers about your strategic process that you were able to implement at Jackson Health System to ensure such a smooth delivery of vaccines, because that you earned 5 stars. Amazing.
Well, it was a learning from a lot of other mistakes that were going on. As we were talking about vaccinating people, and I started off obviously with the fact that we were one of the 5 hospitals in the state and only one of 50 hospitals in the country that received the first doses of Pfizer. to provide it for healthcare employees. We had the opportunity to kind of build the operation process so that if we did that at Jackson Memorial and at smaller bases, both at Jackson North and Jackson South for our employees. And of course, we also got the vaccination, not just for our employees, but for hospitals, employees of hospitals all throughout Miami-Dade County. So we were able to, at that point, provide 20,000 doses of vaccination, 20,000 employees of healthcare that we were able to do at the time. So that gave us an opportunity to understand what was coming next, which was how to vaccinate the community. As we were talking about that, we found other hospital systems around the state trying to open up phone call centers to be able to take the appointments. As they were all doing that, they were just getting a huge amount of calls, and the phone call centers were not being able to handle the volume, and actually brought down the call centers in many places. So our IT team came together and said, we need to do this on an appointment basis by online. And literally in a 48-hour period, turned it around and had an unbelievable appointment process. We did have some hiccups of day one, I will tell you, but we started a week before we did the community of trying to do a smaller group of people. We started with people over 75, so we had a smaller group of people doing it so we could understand how it was going on. And frankly, from day one, we were getting, every time we would open the day for appointments, we were getting 80,000 hits when we're trying to do 2,000 appointments a day. So it was a challenge. But I will tell you what, our people were able to do that well. We, as of right now, have 220 people at all times from 7 in the morning to 5 in the afternoon, providing vaccine in 3 different locations. Right now, with the fact that we're doing first and second doses, we're averaging around 3,000 doses a day that we're providing.
That's incredible.
Because we're doing it through the appointments, we've been able to maintain it without a long wait time. I have yet to hear from any complaints whatsoever. We're getting all kinds of great experience, and the wait time between from the time they get there to the time we go home, including that 15-minute observation period, is running between 30 and 40 minutes. So people are feeling really good about it, aside of the fact that obviously we're doing a great job for the community by providing them vaccine.
Unbelievable. And I just like to add that I know a lot of people in that age bracket, especially my sister, she's in that age bracket, and other friends of mine have gone, and the service, you know, the amazing interpersonal skills that your staff has, Charmaine, Gatlin, Flavia, the rest of your crew. I mean, from A to Z, I mean, they call me because they know how much I love Jackson Health System. And they say, Rachel, you're not going to believe this. It's like we're walking into a 5-star hotel. The place is impeccable. The people treat us like we're royalty, you know, and like you said, it's no time, no waiting lines. You get there, you get your vaccine. They watch you to make sure you don't have any reactions. I mean, you really know how to give our community the red carpet, Mr. Magoya. And for that, we thank you.
There's not a wait time. It's busy. It's a constant flowing line. So people say there's a lot of people here. It's going to take forever, and it doesn't. But and we're doing it at the Lynn Rehab Center, which is, we're proud of showing that new building that we have. We're doing it at Jackson South on US 1 on 152nd Street. And we're doing it at the North Dade Health Center, which is in Miami Gardens on 25th Avenue and 158th Street. So those are 3 locations, and all 3 are running very smoothly.
Excellent. Mr. McGoy, what would you say, more or less, give or take? I don't know if you have the statistic, but from point A, which was in March, when this hurricane hit us, COVID-19 as a pandemic, how many would you say between your staff and the healthcare heroes that you have working for you and the public at large, how many people have you vaccinated, more or less, give or take, as of today?
Well, the vaccination really didn't start in March of last year, obviously. The vaccination started with the healthcare workers in December.
And in December.
We really started with the community right around the 1st of January. And we do have that stat, by the way. We have vaccinated, the total number of vaccinations have been 80,000 vaccinations. 81,000, of which 21,000 have been second doses already. So we have vaccinated 60,000 people, of which a third of that have already gotten their second dose.
Amazing.
And another stat that I just saw, between our vaccination and all the other vaccinations that have happened in the last 4 weeks, we're proud of the fact that we have already vaccinated 25% of the entire population of 65 and over in Miami-Dade County. So
excellent.
I think it's, even though we don't think about it in those numbers, it's a very good chance, a good number. And if we keep at this pace, not even increasing the vaccine. Now, we think we're going to get more vaccine here soon, but if we're to maintain the same pace in February, we could literally have half the population of all people over 65 vaccinated by the end of February. And that's why today we're already starting with some of the Jackson patients under 65 to 55 that have other comorbidities. And that's what we're working on today.
And then soon, God willing, you go to the people that don't have any issues in 55 and little by little. But you have done miracles. You know, your slogan of, you know, Jackson Health System miracles are happening every day. They are. And thank God you're there as well. Mr. Magoya, how do you see our future path for normalcy? We want to get back to normalcy. Do you see it?
Normalcy is a long way away, and it depends what your definition of normalcy. The way I've been describing this, I think, look, if we get to the point, the state of Florida is getting right now around 250,000 to 260,000 doses a week. Dade County receives 22,000 of that, which on a percentage basis, that's the right number to be receiving. We expect sometime in the next 3 to 4 weeks to be able to see that number double and hopefully even triple.
We're going to pray with you.
Yeah, we need the county to get to 75,000 a week. Once we get to that number, we can get to about 40-45% of the entire population of Dade County vaccinated. So we think that we can get to that point of about that 40-50% of the population done by sometime in mid to late summer. Once we get to that number, plus including the people that have already been infected with the disease, we would have enough immunity of the population that will be marking towards the end of the virus. That doesn't mean it's the end of the virus, but I think you're going to see this virus at least certainly for the rest of this year and possibly part of next year. And I think you may have to see us getting not just this year's vaccination, but another vaccination next year for COVID so that we can get to the point where the virus ends. The virus ends when it has no host. It means it can't infect a person. It needs a human to infect. So if all the humans are already have immunity towards the virus, or the majority of them have an immunity towards the virus, then obviously it ceases to exist. And that's going to take a long process.
Okay, so we'll pray for herd immunity soon. Well, Mr. Magoya, unfortunately, we're running out of time. I want to thank you from my heart to yours for being here tonight with us, providing us amazing information, not only about Jackson Health System, which is the best system in the whole world, but also about you. Is there a last-minute message that you would like to leave all our viewers with?
No, I think that it's been a real challenge for many people to consider getting vaccinated. There's a lot of rumors out there which are untrue. I can tell you in those 80,000 vaccinations we have done, we have seen very minor symptoms. And I will tell you that the outcomes and what we're doing here is not only to protect the individual, but to protect the entire community from continuing to exist, and to continue to infect each other. So therefore, the only way we're going to stop this virus is to make sure that everyone vaccinates as best we can and educate yourself to make sure you feel comfortable with the vaccination. It's extremely important that everyone goes out and gets a vaccine over COVID. Thank you.
Absolutely. Well, Mr. Magoya, here in Miami-Dade County and all across our world, we are super blessed that you are at the forefront of Jackson Health System. Keep up the great work. You're doing an extraordinary job. We love you, and we'd like to invite you back sometime soon.
Thank you, Rich.
God bless you. And to all our viewers, thank you so much for joining us tonight on Point with Richard Tergeman. Please share this amazing video with all your family and friends. Remember to subscribe to my YouTube channel, On Point with Rachel Tergeman. Staying informed allows all of us to make the right decisions. God bless you all. Stay healthy and safe. Bye-bye for now.
No, you're good.